Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another episode of The Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good buddy, Cody Frankel. And it's a feeling of dejection, but I think Cody and I are on two different wavelengths right now. Cody, you start, and then I'll kind of follow up on your thoughts.
Yeah, what's up? It's a tough pill to swallow. What we just watched happened, I thought the Rangers played 45 minutes of dominant hockey. And they kind of, you know, gave away those last 15 minutes and then going into the OT. And it's just, it's a tough pill to swallow because, you know, I felt like Igor really, really played well tonight and, you know, deserved the win. And the team ultimately wasted an Igor gem. And, you know, I thought he made some incredible saves. Not that Ronta didn't, because he did as well, but you know, I thought Igor outplayed him, and they just wasted a perfect game that, you know, now they're down 1-0. And it's, to me, it's a little bit of a different feel going down 1-0 to Pittsburgh, just because I know how good Carolina is. And I would have really loved to have that guarantee, right? Me and you talked about them stealing one. And I think like having that guarantee going into game two, knowing you stole one of those two home games is huge. And it begs the question, do they, you know, is Friday a must win now? Because you can't go down 2-0 to this team. So
here's my takeaway from it. And I've seen this happen so many times in hockey. Like,
yeah,
were the Rangers the better team tonight? Yeah, they probably were, and they probably deserve to win. But what's going to happen later on in the series is that the Canes are going to be the better team in one game, and the Rangers are going to find a way to win. It's just the bounces didn't really go their way. And for the people that are blaming Kako on that empty net, like, Kako was our best player the entire night. He literally
– He had a great game.
He had his legs moving the whole night.
He had a great game. You just can't miss that fucking shot.
That missed goal sucks.
You can't miss that shot.
Well, let me finish, because in the first period, you get a power play opportunity. Ryan Strome takes a trip. Mm-hmm. Then Filippito set up back door, doesn't elevate the puck. Ronta makes a great save, sure. But if Hedel lifts that puck 5 inches more off the ice,
yeah, did it goes you see in. What I texted you?
No, I didn't see it. What was it?
Oh, yeah. It would be a good day for Hedel to learn how to lift the fucking puck.
Yeah. I mean, so many things went wrong where, like, there's people saying, like, Kako, like, you got to finish that. But the Rangers had so many other opportunities. And then,
listen, I got to tell you, and sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're not sorry to interrupt, because I was going to fucking rant.
All right, go.
No, dude, it's just like, it's so annoying that the one guy who showed up every shift out there, not only offensively, I thought Kako played pretty well defensively too. And here Ranger fans are, and the only memory they're going to have on that game is Kako missing that empty net.
He did pull a Ryan Strome. You know, he's been hanging out with Strome a little too much. But no, I thought he played a great game. All things aside, you just listen. It's, you know, it's under the bright lights of fucking shitty Raleigh, Carolina. But you know, it's under those bright lights. You can't miss that shot. And not to take away from his night, because I thought he had a fantastic night. And I thought, you know, he was playing heavy. He was playing hard on the forecheck. He made that great pass to Hedo where he missed the goal. Like, he missed the second opportunity. So he made that pass, and that was a fantastic pass, and he played well all night. Unfortunately, the one moment where a goal was probably at 90% probability, he unfortunately on his good side too, missed the shot. And it's unfortunate, it is, but I actually want to harp a little bit more on, honestly, on Trouba, on that Aho goal. Like, Trouba's got to play better defense there. And he got beat by Aho, fine. But then let Aho get a second shot off instead of getting in front. It just, that just blew my mind, because it was like, I don't know what's going on with him. I thought he had such a good series until those last like few games against Pittsburgh. Like, he had a really rough few games, and like, he's picking up right where he left off. Like, you got to play defense in that situation. And if he's beating you, fine. Like, all right, he beat you, but Chesty made the save. Like, he made the save, and you got to take that away before he puts that rebound. And when you're standing right there, Trouba was standing there just dumbfounded. Just made me so mad.
It's not really Trouba's guy, though. I know,
but he's there. Like, you gotta, you know, like, he's there. He was there. I know it wasn't like, you know, man on man, whatever, but like, he's there. So you got to make the play in that situation, or you got to find some way to, you know, shift the momentum there. I don't know.
I honestly just like watching that goal, like, Keandre, as great as he played, like, you know, a pass gets by Keandre, then it's a 2-on-1 right in front of the net. Like, I don't blame Trouba there. He's playing a tight 2-on-1. Like,
yeah. Keandre, you know, he's another guy who had a really, really good game, and he was doing the same shit. Bro, every single game now, he's taken out two dudes.
I'm watching that. I'm watching that Aho goal again, and Panarin kind of gets caught watching. He stopped.
Yeah, the whole team like gave up there. I mean, dude, with 3 minutes left in the game, you can't fucking let a goal in. Yeah. It's just like, you said it, like, they were playing conservative the last 20 minutes, and they were playing not to lose, but like, you got to put some pressure on the other team, especially a team like Carolina that's faster than you in every aspect and has more chemistry than you too. Like, you can't blow a lead with 3 minutes left, and you know what they did. And now they have somewhat of a steep hill to climb. I mean, they got to just take away from the positives here, because there were a ton of positives tonight, which is great. I mean, the first 40 minutes, didn't have one complaint about the game. I thought first 40 minutes, they played super sound hockey. They were playing great hockey, and they were playing complete hockey. And the one thing you and I always harp on is, you know, the Rangers love playing 45 or 50 minutes of really good hockey, and then 10 minutes of just a really brutal stretch. And that's exactly what you saw in those first 10 minutes of the third period. I mean, they got outshot, 9-0? Got a shot off, like that. So it's like, you know, it's when you play like that and that conservative, and that kind of reminds me of like how the Islanders play, right? Like, they play that, they get that 1-2 lead, and then they try and play shutdown the whole time. And then, you know, if it gets away from them, or if a team's too fast for them, that's how they lose. And it's just, to me, I don't like that style of hockey. I think you got a one goal lead in the playoffs is not a safe lead to play. And I just thought they needed to, you know, play a little more aggressive there and stuff. And I get they're tired. I mean, you know, and how many overtime, I feel like we're going to have 10 overtimes in this freaking, you know, sequence, but I don't know. What's your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think you kind of felt it coming, right? I think Niederreiter hits that post, and I think Aho hits a post, or someone else.
That pass was Svechnikov, it was Niederreiter.
No, that was the breakaway Niederreiter, and then there was another post
from
after.
The quickie pass.
Yeah, and then
that was nice.
You kind of felt it coming, but like, they kept, you know, that they were bending but not breaking.
Yeah,
but you definitely felt the momentum shift. I mean, from the first 5 minutes of that third period, and you know, I don't think they're screwed yet, because you know what they say, like, you're not screwed in a series till you lose on home ice. Like, they, like, listen, it's not a good position to be in, going down 2-0.
No, go. I was just going
to
say, here's the thing. They got to win Friday. To me, Friday has to be a win, because if you rewind it to the Boston series, Boston played perfect at home and they won every home game, and they lost all 4 away games. So you need to find a way to win one of these 2 away games. And I just think, you know, going down 2-0, it's just not a good look. Like, it's tough. It's really tough.
But here's the positive takeaway. If you really break down the film, Carolina's probably, you know, the most in-your-face type of styled team that there is in the Eastern Conference. And the Rangers took their game and brought it to them in the first 2 periods.
Right,
so that's
absolutely.
That's a huge positive takeaway. Yeah. And that's got to make this team feel so confident. Like, you literally took their game on home ice and you brought it to them. Why not do that again in game 2? Like, they're going to feel confident going in. Like,
the one thing I'll say, you're right. And the one thing I'll say is, like, Carolina definitely thought the Rangers were pushovers. You could tell. And like, so did their fans, I'm sure. And like, now they know, like, we're kind of, you know, we're not messing around. Like we're coming and we're going to make every game close if we can. And we're going to steal a few and we're going to, you know, try and do our thing, get in your face, just like you said. And I think that's super important to take away. And I think basically going into tomorrow, you know, they just need to regroup, take away from these positives. And I thought they played great defense all night until, you know, the third period. They got a little sloppy at the end, but they didn't even get sloppy defensively until like, you know, they had that breakaway fine. And then the other post, like there was nothing you can do about that. And then, you know, the Aho, like it was literally the Aho pass and the Niederreiter pass. Like that was it. I thought other than that, they played such a sound defensive game. And I think considering they were 16th out of 16th in defensive metrics in the first series, like I think that's a huge positive to take away, you know?
1,000%. And I think Ray Ferraro touched on it perfectly. Like they kept the Hurricanes to the perimeter for the first 40 minutes. Like,
yeah, you
know, they actually did a great like breakdown on the TV, just saying how the Rangers were protecting the house the entire game. And I kind of forgot what I was going to say. I had a thought in my head. Fuck. I mean, poor Lindgren, man. Like that guy battles his ass off and that puck goes off him. Like that sucks.
I know.
That's just bad luck.
I know. But he was good though at the end, right?
Yeah, he played a great game, I thought. But then, here's what I was going to say, too. How nice was it, though, as a fan? Like, aside from the heartbreak of a loss, it was so nice to, like, sit there and watch a game and, like, not freak out about a shitty call or a goal review.
Oh, I know.
All that outside noise. Like, it was just so nice to just watch a hockey game. The refs let him play. Like, even on that Kako breakaway.
There were two penalties the whole game.
In the first 2 minutes, and that was it.
The first 2 minutes, yeah.
But what'd you think of that Kako non-call? Because I actually thought there wasn't much there.
I didn't think that was a penalty. If you're calling that, that's just soft. I think Kako sold it a little bit, but it just wasn't a call. I didn't think there was anything there. Yeah.
And that's another play that he had. Like he must have had 6 or 7 shots on goal. I got to look at this.
No way. It was that many. I feel like 4.
Oh, just 3 shots on goal.
Three or four. Yeah.
Well, I guess if you don't count the
he took
breakaway,
shot attempts. Yeah.
The breakaway and then the empty net. Those aren't shots on goal. Those are just good chances.
Right. Yeah, dude, the kid line's legit, man. They were our best line tonight by far. You know, what do you think of Panarin's line tonight? I thought they were a little quiet.
I thought Panarin played with a lot of confidence. I thought he didn't play his like best game, but I didn't think he was poor at all. I think he made a lot of really good, like simple, short, smooth passes. Like I feel confident whenever he carries the puck over the blue line, he's gonna make a good play.
You know,
he had a
you know
sick pass in the first period to Kopp.
That was awesome. Filthy. Yeah. Yeah. You know who I noticed tonight?
Who?
Funny enough, I thought he had a really good game. Dude, Frankie V. He was all over the ice and he was getting a little
move, man. His feet just move.
He was getting physical. I loved it.
He flies. An offensive performance that I actually noticed in a poor way. I didn't really think Foxy had his best game offensively. He didn't really generate much offensively.
Yeah. Same with Mika, dude. Mika was pretty quiet too, I thought.
He had a couple like one-on-one chances, but he just couldn't get a shot off. Like he wasn't like invisible. He just like
he was coming from weird angles the whole night. He was coming from very weird angles.
He does that sick move that sometimes he gets to work, like that little fake slap shot where he curls his wrist and then like lets it rip. It's so hard to pull off, and he didn't really get it off tonight. But like I've seen him pull that move off plenty of times where it works. But tonight he just couldn't do it. But I thought also like I thought D'Angelo was terrible, and he was their best player by far in the first round for Carolina. Like D'Angelo was the whole reason for that first goal. He gives the puck up right to Lafreniere, and Lafreniere made a beautiful pass to Hedo. I mean, that was gorgeous.
Aho, that little ferret, man. That little ferret. Aho? Yeah.
But then again, too, like I didn't think there was any line in Carolina that really dominated until that last 10 minutes. Like there's no fear of like that Crosby, Gensel, like every time those guys were on the ice, I was like, oh shit, here we go again. You know, there wasn't any of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the three guys at Carolina who they don't terrify me other than Aho, but like, you know, they scare me a little bit is you have Aho, but then also Teravainen and Svechnikov, just, you know, those guys, because they could shoot from anywhere. Like Svechnikov, I think he had over 30 goals this year, right? He had like 35 or 37. He had a lot of goals.
I have no idea. That's actually a good question.
Yeah. I think he did. Okay. So Svechnikov had 30 goals this year, and then Aho had 37, and then, Teravainen had over 20. Trocheck. I mean, they got a lot of scores. And You know who's one guy who I actually did notice, and it's funny because way back when I wanted the Rangers to actually draft him, Seth Jarvis, dude. He looked pretty good for them, I thought.
I actually thought he looked like he got the shit beat out of him. He must have gotten killed like four or five times.
Oh, really?
I mean, Keandre made that play.
I saw him getting physical. Yeah, well, yeah. Keandre crushed him. But
Keandre crushed him, and then Kreider ran him at the end of the second period by the bench, if you saw that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that play. I mean, he's just a little pest. That's what he is. He's like Connor Garland. That's what you love about him, probably. He's the same kind of player as Connor Garland.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Yeah, and dude, I was going to say to you, I thought the fourth line played awesome. I thought until I didn't really notice him in the third period. I thought Revo had his best game. I thought he was everywhere.
I mean, dude, also I had Mott scored the first goal.
I know.
And that 2-on-1, he passed it up. He gave it to Rooney. I think he had a 2-on-1. He didn't shoot it. But dude, this is what's pissing me off. Like, I have all these guys like tweeting at me like, yo, you're crazy dick riding. Kako missed a wide open net. Like, what do you mean, man? He was and another guy can't miss those in the playoffs. Like,
I was going to text you something.
Generated all the offense. Like, someone else show up.
Yeah. I was going to text you something when I saw your tweet, but,
what?
You were already a little upset tonight. So I didn't want to get you more on edge.
What was it?
No, I just saw your Kako tweet, and literally 1 minute later after you tweeted that is when he missed the open net.
I don't care. He still had his best game. That was the best game I've seen him play. He had so many chances. He generated so much offense. He was passing the puck, shooting the puck. Man. He was hitting. He did everything. Everything.
Yeah. I mean, that line, like, I don't know. It's funny because they didn't do this in the regular season. Like, I don't know what it is, but playoffs just sparked them. And all three of them are playing so good. I thought Laffy had a good game too.
Yeah, no, I thought he was great. He had that really good chance in the second period. Also, I think he hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he? Crossbar maybe? I think Hedo made a really good drop pass and Laffy shot it.
Yeah. I don't know if he ended up hitting. Yeah, maybe he did hit it.
It was a great chance either way. But yeah, man, I mean, that's another thing to take out of this game. Like, didn't play the best in the third period, but you shut down a team for 40 minutes. That's a really good team, probably a better team than you. You know, you just got to carry all the positives you can going into Friday and one shift at a time on Friday.
So what do you think they need to do? Let's say Friday plays out, simulation game here, and we get the win. What do you think? But let's say it's a grinder win, you know, one goal. I'm sure all of our wins in this series, I feel like, are going to be one goal wins. I just have that, you know, that hunch. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they need to do to grind out four wins here against this type of team?
Well, I think honestly, a big part of it is going to be special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, the power play was clicking toward the end of the Penguin series, and tonight we didn't really get an opportunity. So it's hard to judge there. But that's something I noticed too. The last three meetings between these two teams in the regular season, neither team scored a power play goal. It was all pretty much 5-on-5.
Interesting.
So 5-on-5 is going to have to be, like, you know, obviously just being able to contain Carolina and not letting them score 5-on-5 goals. And it's going to come down to which power play can perform, I think.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part. I mean, tonight I thought the 5-on-5 was definitely even for the most of the game, and we didn't really see much of a special teams opportunity. So I think going forward, if, you know, you get two or three power plays a game, you got to at least bury one. You can't have a power play that doesn't execute.
Yeah, you're right. And the two things I want to add on to that, dude, is it's just two words. They need to compete and they need to grind. I thought
you were going to say two words because you like pause a little bit. You just need to compete. Like, that's one word.
No, that's funny. No, I think they just need to compete and grind.
Aren't those
right?
kind of the same word?
No, because compete, I'm talking about like every shift giving it 100, and then grind, I'm talking more about like being, you made me stutter there for a minute, but I was trying to think of like, I'm thinking more of the physical aspect of grinding. So like
do you grind when you compete, but not compete when you grind?
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense, dude.
It could be a thing. Like, we could make it a thing. So they just need to compete, but not grind, but then grind, but not compete. Oh man. All right. We'll rewind that. They need to compete and they need to just be physical. Like, I think they're fit when they have their physical game. I think they're such a good team. And other teams get scared of them and they kind of dominate puck control. And another thing, dude, we need to win faceoffs because this team is so good. Like, Carolina is so good at faceoffs that I think we need to try and figure out a way to be better at those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Mika struggled in the faceoff dot tonight.
He always struggles.
Yeah,
I feel like he always struggles.
But honestly, another aspect of what you're kind of going at is staying above the puck. I thought they did a great job staying above the puck throughout the entire game. I mean, for the most part, honestly, even in the third period, they always had numbers back. And Hedl did a great job staying above the puck, I thought, all night. And for those of you like don't know what that saying means, it's basically like,
I was just going to say, can you define it?
Do you not know what it means?
No, I do. I was going to say define it for everybody who doesn't.
Yeah, so like when Carolina's breaking the puck out, like you don't want to be like dive bomb out of puck. That's the word I'm going to
Yeah.
Put. So like, let's say, you know, I think Kreider had a really bad dive bomb in the Penguin series where like the puck's kind of coming at you and you just go toward the puck.
You got to let it
come to you. You got to stay above the puck. Because if you just go past the puck, like let's say Aho's skating the puck up and you lunge at him, he's going to go by you. And that's when they get numbers. And that's when it's like a 4-on-3, 3-on-2. Yeah. Like, that's when that happens.
Yeah. And that's also when we miss those, you know, those hard bounces. Like you saw that a couple times with Foxy where he kind of ran towards the puck and then it jumped right over him. And then it was a giveaway, you know? So it's like things like that. That's a good point for sure.
But that's something that Carolina does really well. Like that's their bread and butter, staying above the puck. Like they always had numbers back. Like the Rangers didn't really have any odd man rushes besides that first goal that they scored. Like if you think about it, there wasn't much 3-on-2s or 2-on-1s. Like, you know, Carolina plays a very sound defensive game.
Yeah. I did like Jacob Slavin getting dummied on that first goal.
Shout out Sarah Sivian.
Yeah, seriously. Giving him all the props and then that happens. But they have a lot of good D-men. Like they have a lot of good D-men. It was nice to see Brendan Smith out there doing his thing. Good old Smitty.
One thing that's much less threatening, I think, by the Carolina D-men as opposed to the Penguins D-men is they're way less active offensively. Like the only guy who really generates offense, you know, skating the puck over the blue line for the most part is D'Angelo. Like Slavin's capable of it, but the other four guys were no threat. We're like Letang, Matheson, Marino. Those are the three guys that stood out to me for Pittsburgh that like created offense, you know, pretty consistently. Carolina isn't doing much of that. Like the only offense they get is just like their defenseman throwing it at the net from the blue line, but they're not like very mobile on the blue line. So like, you know, you're not going to see the Rangers wingers getting beat very much off the blue line. Like Foxy actually made a really good move on one of their forwards and he had that backhand shot, which like, you know, wasn't so strong, but you know, that's something that Foxy has that none of our D-men really have. Like Trouba has shown it. Miller has shown it. But Foxy's really the only one who does it on a consistent basis. So, I mean, I think, you know, like honestly, I said it last series, like Matheson was like one of the most like dynamic defensemen I've seen in a while. And he's like under the radar dynamic. Like I thought he was making so many plays out the rush for a defenseman.
So speaking of defensemen, I actually have like, it's not my take. It was one of my friend Joe's take, but kind UFO of a crazy. Joe? Yeah. UFO Joe. Shout out to Joey. So he texted me during the game and said, do you think Keandre could end up being better than Fox? And it's kind of an interesting perspective to look at it. I mean, they're just two totally different type of defensemen, right? Like Fox is going to be that guy who can literally put up over 60 points, 70 points a season. Whereas like Keandre won't do that. He has some really, really nice defensive skills, but he's more of that guy. Like you're looking at like a stay-at-home defenseman who's going to be absolutely shut down. Like you're looking at like a Mark Stahl type of guy in his prime, right? That's kind of like what you look at with Key, like just more offensive talent.
I'm trying to think of like a comparison to like modern day, you know, honestly, I mean, I think this could be a huge stretch, but he could have like Hedman potential. No,
dude, he's like,
that's a big statement. Like I understand that's a huge statement. Yeah. Like, that's giving him a lot of credit, but I think that the potential is there.
I'm covering my ears because I don't want you to say anything, but like he's becoming one of my favorite Rangers.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, I think everyone feels that way.
Yeah, like he's just, you know,
he just plays hard. He doesn't
just play hard. He just plays hard, and like you see him do one thing on offense, like some crazy assist or some crazy goal, and you're just like, this dude is unreal. And then he has made a play where he just locked down a big offensive guy or like threw him on the ground or something like four games in a row. I mean, he did it twice tonight. He did it, you know, against Letang. He did it against Malkin. I mean, it's just really good to see. And I guess to bring it back to my point and, you know, the original question, like, do you think there's a realm in where Keandre could end up being better than Fox? I mean, Keandre is only 21 years old, right?
Yeah.
21, right?
Foxy's 24.
I mean, it's a very tall ass, like a crazy tall ass, I know, but I don't know, man. Like,
I mean, he'll never be as good offensively as Boxes.
And that's fine.
As a 200-foot defensive defenseman goes,
yeah,
he could easily be better. He might already be better.
Yeah.
Defensively.
So it's just really it was an interesting tidbit, and I wanted to include that because it's like it's so interesting how you have all these different types of defensemen. But yeah, I mean, Key is a superstar. Like well, I think he's
sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just saying. sorry to interrupt. So sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry.
But I think the biggest difference between the two of them is that Fox is a puck moving defenseman, whereas Keandre uses his feet. Keandre can break the puck out skating it up himself.
Yeah.
Like how many times you see Keandre loop back, grab the puck and skate it up himself? Like he does that all the time. Whereas Fox, he's making that like quick, simple play to get the puck out of the zone. Like he's really a pass first guy. Keandre can burn guys with his speed, where Foxy doesn't really use his speed because he doesn't he's a good skater, but he's by no means an explosive skater. So
And
you know, Fox Keandre's so explosive.
So explosive. Yeah. No, you're right. And Foxy's like the real. He's like the first real like puck moving defenseman we've had. I mean, outside of D'Angelo, like I'm not really including him, but like since Yandle. So it's like been a while. And
you know,
it was like,
before Yandle, honestly, which is going to sound nuts.
Oh,
Delzato.
Delzato, dude.
Delzato had the best stretch pass that I saw back in 2012.
I used to love Delzy. Is he still on the Flyers?
He's somewhere. Maybe
he's somewhere. Honestly, you want to hear what's crazy? It feels like Delzato's been in this league for 20 years. He's 31.
I think his rookie year was 2010 or something.
I know. He's just been on like 17. So it's shake it till you make it. But I don't know, man. I mean, just an interesting question. But was there anything else you wanted to add before we preview Friday a little bit?
I was just going to go into Friday, honestly. So do you want to?
All right, shoot.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I expect the same kind of game, low scoring, both teams limit mistakes. I do think it's going to be the opposite outcome where Carolina is the better team and the Rangers find a way to win.
Okay. I would love that. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. I mean, I would like to be the better team, but I will take a win for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come down. And listen, I think it's going to come down to Igor again. And I think Igor is ready to go. I think he's shaking the rust off.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Dude, he looked really comfortable. I think the atmosphere and Carolina fans, like you can tell they were loud,
but not ruthless.
Pittsburgh was you couldn't even hear the announcers from your TV. So it's like very different environment. And I just think he's more comfortable now. He's like ready to go. He went through that tough grind of winning three straight, and now he's like ready to rock. So if this team can generate some 5v5 offense and the power play, like you said, that the special teams are going to be huge. So we just need to find a way to, you know, generate some penalties and stuff like that. But yeah, I think you're right on the money there. And, you know, I would love to steal game two for sure and go home 1-1. That being said, I'm going to go with the prediction of, I think it's going to be low scoring as well. And I'm going to go with 3-2 Rangers, overtime.
That's a good prediction. I think also a huge thing too, is like, you know, if they don't come out strong in the first 5 minutes, you can't get what's the word for not level headed. You can't lose your cool. You got to stay even keel. Like, you know, I feel like in Pittsburgh, both games on the road, they like something went wrong and they just let it linger throughout the entire lineup. So like if something does go wrong in the first 5 minutes, they got to just show some resilience, which they have all year long. But I think that's the biggest thing too, is just staying disciplined. Like Strome's penalty. And you talked about it like weeks ago about how he takes so many just like undisciplined penalties.
Dude, he just did it again today. And I was like, bro.
Yeah. Like that's one thing too. Like they just got to stay disciplined. And I thought they did for the most part tonight. Penalty.
Yeah. You know? They for sure did. And I didn't even see any, like, I didn't even see any other plays where I was like, oh, there was one play where I can't remember if it was Trouba or it was somebody else where it should have been a penalty, but they missed it tonight. But like that was the only other play that I really saw, and that was just more so the refs just like laying off the whistles. But I'm right there with you.
Can I tell you one lesson that I think we've learned from this postseason?
Yes, teacher.
Everyone's always said that the most important goal is the first goal of the game. That's been the complete opposite of this playoff.
So true.
Opposite. I feel like the team that scored first in every Ranger game has
lost every single one. But it's funny because tonight was the first time the Canes haven't scored first. They scored first in all seven games against the Bruins.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I know that.
Yep, they scored first in all seven games against the Bruins. So when we were up 1-0, it said it was the first time they've been trailing to start the game. So kind of interesting because then they ended up winning anyways. So hopefully, but yeah, you're right. I feel like every single time Pittsburgh scored first, I was like, oh, we're good.
Exactly. But also one last thing about the Kako thing, because I'm just really pissed off about it.
Rant, baby.
Nah, just honestly, if Hedl scores that goal in the first period, they go up 2-0. They take the crowd out of the game. Like, yeah. It's such a different game. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Like going up two in the intermission, the first intermission.
Two frustrated fans point. What I will say about the Kako goal.
We're on such different end of the spectrum on this. It's so funny.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. What I will say to their point is the reason I think fans are so frustrated is because not only would that have been the game winner, but at that moment in time, that would have put the game away.
Yeah.
So that is why, you know, the frustration is out. And I get it for sure. Cause I texted you and I was like that motherfucker, but he had such a good game. I mean, he did have such a good game. And I think an important thing for him is he knows he fucked up. Like, I'm sure he knows. Yeah. So the important thing for him is keep doing what he's doing and, you know, keep shooting, keep getting after it, playing heavy shifts. And those, I'm confident a goal or two is going to come for him, from him. And, you know, he's just got to like keep doing his thing and not, and, you know, forget about it. We lost. It's done with. Like, throw it out the back and move forward and let's get that win on Friday.
Yeah. 100%. And I think before we do wrap it up, we should say, like, you know, your plans for next week and what's going to be happening with the show. So if you want to break that down.
Yeah. So I'm headed to Tel Aviv on a nice beach in Israel. So I believe we're going to record, we're going to drop an episode on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny will be dropping another episode on either Wednesday or Thursday with a special guest.
Or two.
And then after that, I should be back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will have my lucky Rangers hat. I'll sleep with it in bed if I need to, even though we lost with it tonight. But you know what? It was an OT loss and I'm 4-1 with it. So I'll sleep with it. And, you know, we play 2 or 3 a.m. my time. So I'm going to have some lack of sleep, but I'm going to try and do what I can to watch the game in Tel Aviv. And, you know, I'll make sure Johnny tweets for the both of us.
Which I already do, pretty much. Some people tell me they have, like, their notifications on for when I tweet. I was like, your phone must be dead within 2 hours.
Oh, that's great.
But, yeah, I mean, that's all I got. So next week might be a little different, but we're still going to have two consistent episodes. Hopefully the next time you hear from us, the Rangers are up 2-1 in the series because it's going to be after game three on Monday morning. I'll be at game three. I'm going with a friend, Zach Gelb, who is a CBS sports radio host. So if you're going to the Garden, let me know, shoot me a DM down to grab some beers. I'll be at Mustang Harry's pregame at like 2:00. Always love interacting and meeting with the Blue York family and all of our listeners. So shoot me a DM or whatever, but,
And it'll be 10:30 my time PM. So I'll be sure to be watching, you know, it might not be in English, but I'll be sure to try and be watching, on some TV. So,
Well, I wish you a good trip, Cody. I love Tel Aviv. I love Israel. I've been twice, I think. So you're going to have a blast, obviously.
I'll bring you back some matzah, bro. Yeah, only on Birthright, like 10 years ago. So not a real trip. Like, it's a real trip, but like, you know, but not
you're going for like leisure now. Yeah,
exactly. That's I'm going to have a good time. Yeah.
Going to get real tan.
Dude, I need it.
Get all the chicken shawarma you can eat, man. I'm so jealous.
I love some chicken shawarma.
So good. So good. But that's going to wrap this up. We think the Rangers come back and win on Friday and come home with the tied series. So hopefully that happens.
LGR.
Love you guys. Later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.